This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
This is Heidi Boghossian, co-host of Law & Disorder Radio. Tune in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to hear timely analysis on issues concerning civil liberties, privacy, the right to dissent, and even practices of torture by the U.S. government and private corporations. Our guests are leading authorities in their fields from around the country and sometimes internationally. They include authors, lawyers, activists, scholars, and many more. That's Wednesday at 5 p.m. right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
It's Loud and Clear. We take you inside the news.
Remember, telling the truth is important, but to make a difference, it has to be loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
The moment I wake up. Live from New York City, it's the Gary Moore Show. Your host, Gary Noll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how young green barley grass can keep colon cancer at bay. Institute for Rural Health in Poland, published in the Annals of Agriculture and Environmental Medicine. But more time today is going to be spent with some issues. I generally don't watch the debates, first because I don't like the panelists because they're extremely biased and limited in the questions they raise. I'll give you examples, for example, today of 10 questions they should have been asking and their significance that never get asked. They could make a difference for all of us. But also, just this morning, I was speaking with some young people, some nurses, millennials, and the question was, what are you going to talk about today on your show? I said, well, I'm going to do a brief commentary about Bernie Sanders. Why? Well, because I believe that he means well in some areas, but is being either misunderstood or not cast correctly. And that's because I believe he approached the topic of democratic socialism without really defining what it means, who will pay for these free things, and how that is going to be constructive or challenging to our particular form of democracy. Oh, and I'm going to also mention his support of Fidel Castro. And boy, that was it. These young women have nothing good to say about Castro or Cuba, not the Cuban people, because they come from Cuba. They were born in Cuba. They were raised in Cuba. They were raised under the Cuban, what Bernie would like to say, democratic socialism in Cuba, which is not democratic. And it's certainly not socialism in the proper term. So I'm going to better define some of these arguments. For example, when they point to Denmark or other Baltic countries as good examples, they're wrong. Excuse me, and I intend to share with you a different perspective, one that is not ideological, but is simply real, based upon real scholarship, and especially for the young people in this audience, because if you're going to vote for someone, because you like them, you like what they represent, pull back and look at everything they represent and then see, is this really what you want? So that's what we're going to do. Also today, if time permits, I'm going to show you a little bit of a difference between Greta Thunberg and another young teenager who is taking issue with her and doing some background checking. She is sponsored by the Heartland Institute, which is a climate-denying organization, Foundation. But some of the arguments she makes, I will show you both Greta's arguments and where I would challenge her, or I should say her parents, because they're the ones who actually write this, as we found out by accident, not her, as we originally told, oh, she's very intelligent. Well, she has a level of intelligence that most 16-year-olds would have, but please don't tell me, having spent years, decades working with children with autism, that somehow autism is a gift that everybody should be happy about, because talk with the thousands of patients I've spoken with whose children have autism, it's not a gift, it's a curse. And then look at the real cause of it. It doesn't enhance your awareness of your intellectual capacities. Anyhow, everything about Greta has been manufactured. Not that her argument, primary argument, is inaccurate, it's completely accurate. I 100% support her basic argument. What I do not support at all, on any level, is the fraud of the entire machine behind her, the most powerful people on the planet, George Soros, Bill Gates, and all the other people who are manipulating all this so that she gets every award, when Vandana Shiva and people who've worked decades, half a century, helping to actually save farmers, save them from suicide, wean them off glyphosate, doesn't get mentioned. But someone who's never planted a seed doesn't know anything about agriculture, nothing. And if you doubt her, invite her on the show to debate me on any topic, without her parents, and see what you actually think then. But then I don't want to burst your illusion, because it was F. Somerset Maugham who said, never let the public behind the curtains, because it is not the truth they can handle. They were in love with the illusion. Yeah, and that's the case. So let's not conflate the issue. Greta's message is good, honest, and accurate. Everything else about what she does is staged, manipulative, and predictable. But her challenger is equally culpable, as I will show when I go through this. In any case, this is one of those days where I'm going to take on a lot of issues. Oh, and by the way, we're going to ask you to walk away from Wikipedia today with a special in-depth essay. And the essay will be presented in Studio New York by our Wikipedia lawyer and Victoria. And just listen carefully to every sentence and see if it just makes common sense. Because Richard Gell and I work on these at great length. We have many discussions, and we just want the people to know the truth. And that, in our opinion, Wikipedia is not an encyclopedia. It is an advocate's gulag. Anyone who advocates for complementary and alternative health, no matter what your success, no matter what your academic credentials, no matter what your pedigree, you are put into this isolation tank for the rest of your life, where they sneer, mock, and ridicule that nobody can touch them. They're untouchable. They're more powerful than the President of the United States and the Supreme Court and Congress, which is true until we the people say, now we know the truth, and we're not going to tolerate it anymore. We're taking action. Today is article number 71. We intend now, we've pushed it back, we've done an analysis, we intend to do 500 articles. We're going after Wikipedia, every one of their lawyers. We're already investigating the law firms that represent them and the individual lawyers, everything about them, everything. And if you don't think I can find out anything about you, you don't know me. You don't want to know what it's like when we go after people with patience and persistence, because this is a much bigger issue than any individual. This is literally the destruction of the entirety of all complementary and alternative medicine and your actual choice to select something. Because what you have not known, maybe because you weren't aware of it, is that they've been fighting for 50 years to stop and deny you your freedom of choice when it comes to your health care. And they're really getting close to succeeding with the full censorship of anything that's positive about complementary care, and then attacking everyone who advocates it. The latest just being the promotion of 5G is good, when 5G is epidemically, pandemically more dangerous than the coronavirus could ever be. And not everyone's going to get the coronavirus, but everybody's going to get hell on this planet with 5G. So you see, pull back, depersonalize it, just look at the facts, and you'll think, my goodness, this does involve me. This is serious. Maybe I should become less complacent and more concerned. So we're continuing that today. I don't know if I'll have time to get to a commentary by James Whitehead, but if we do have that time, it's an interesting one about the looming financial nightmare in the United States. Now, we have written several articles on how much debt we have. It's over $270 trillion total, not just $22 trillion or $23 trillion now. That is just the federal government's debt, which means that's all debt. And we have to pay interest on that. Who do we pay the interest to? How many people profit when the government continues to charge interest instead of having the Treasury print and distribute all monies without interest? So everything we're doing wrong. Everything, everywhere, all the time, when it comes to these government programs. So I'm going to take all these on today. But we begin with, always, with the latest on health and healing. And for this, we're looking at a study from the Institute of Rural Health in Poland. It showed that green barley grass, by the way, that's non-glutinous, because anytime wheat grass, barley grass, any of these come up, they come up as little tiny shoots. And this is what comes up in the spring in most places. And this is what the cattle and horses really crave, because they've been eating hay, timothy, bahia, hay, rye hay, over the alfalfa hay over the winter to get their nitrogen and some minerals. But in the spring, they just gorge on these hays, and suddenly you see their health, their weight, the shining coat come back, their immune system stronger, energy galore. Well, it's also important for humans. That's why wheatgrass juice and barley grass juice are very good for us. And so we knew it had a lot of antioxidant quality, but now you can add anti-cancer to that list of health benefits. This is a paper published in the Annals of Agricultural and Environmental Medicine, and a team reported the extracts from young green barley can prevent the spread of colon cancer cells without damaging nearby healthy cells. Just as a little tutorial, colorectal cancer, which includes cancers that start in the colon or rectum, are among the leading causes of cancer-related deaths in the United States. The American Cancer Society estimates that over 104,000 cases of colon cancer will be diagnosed just this year alone. The American diet is primarily the reason. Too much meat, saturated fats, too little fiber. Well, green barley refers to the leaves of the barley plant, the Ordeum vulgarea, which produce the grain. Now, barley is the first cereal grain cultivated by humans. I believe it goes back to about 7,000 BC. Eastern Asian and Middle Eastern cultures also consumed young wheat and barley grass, and ancient Greeks used the mucilage from the cereal to treat inflammation. And the Roman gladiators ate barley to boost their strength and stamina. Recent studies have shown that barley leaf extract has antioxidant properties, which can be beneficial in the prevention of inflammation. So a study done by University of California at Davis noted that young green barley leaf contained saponarin, S-A-P-O-N-A-R-I-N. That's a flavonoid with strong antioxidant properties. And the Polish took a look at this, and they found that it also has strong anti-cancer benefits as well. So another piece of the puzzle, because barley greens have been shown to protect us against ultraviolet radiation because they contain superoxide dismutase, an enzyme that helps repair cells damaged by harmful ultraviolet rays. And chlorophyll in green barley protects against radiation and promotes the production of red blood cells. It also has anti-aging properties. People looking to improve your skin you could benefit from taking green barley, aside from having essential skin nutrients and rich in chlorophyll. Green barley also contains what is called phycosine. That's a phenol that boosts white and red blood cell production. And it relieves ulcerative colitis. So, all good when it comes to barley. Now, this is from Monash University School of Biological Sciences in Australia. It was published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation, and it says that a low-fiber diet, that's your average American diet, can cause high blood pressure. Yeah, that's the silent disease. High blood pressure kills a lot of people. And also, resistant starches are a type of prebiotic fiber which resist digestion until it reaches the large intestine, where it feeds in a good way. This is what happens when I talk till 2 in the morning, as I did last night for almost 7 hours after my radio show, which was, I hope you had a chance to download that. Wow. Is Eva Bartler right on? She deserves an outstanding journalist award for her courage, going to live in Gaza for 5 years, being there full-time for 3 years, understanding what it's like to live in an apartheid community, and speaking the truth where no one in the mainstream media, and how they baited last night that stupid question from those stupid panelists about, would you move the, you know, that's a baited question. It's what is called a red bait question, where you ask a loaded question that puts a person in a position of either supporting Israel or suddenly isolating the entire Israeli vote and many of the more moderate liberal community members. And that's what it was intended, in my opinion, to do, instead of, you know, just saying what we should do to try to bring peace to that area of the world. That would have been a different question. What would you do, Senator, to bring a peaceful resolution to the conflict in the Middle East so both the Israelis and the Palestinians can live a productive life? Would you take down the walls? Would you? And one of my friends, one of my very closest friends, has been working for decades to try to get businesses to donate factory materials so that in Gaza and the West Bank, they would have the tools to reopen all 5,000 closed down factories. Do you know there's 5,000 factories closed down because they ran out of parts or fuel, and to open it up so that they could become financially self-sufficient, producing product, open up orchards again instead of tearing down and destroying the orchards, some 900-year-old trees. So you see, there's a reason why we have the conflict, and there's a reason that we should really all want peace, unless you're an ideologue, in which case it's not peace that you seek, but power and control. But those questions, these people seemed too dim-witted, the panelists, to ask. Then again, we don't know who's behind their questions. In any case, when it comes to hypo, that H-Y-P-O, that means low vitamin intake, a vitamin D is linked to bowel symptoms and almost always in people who are overweight. This was published in Nutrition Research. So hypo vitamin D is common in type 2 diabetes, people who are depressed, and it's really bad. You put your bowel in jeopardy of having inflammatory disease, including cancer. Another good study, this one from Cornell University, saying, once again, as I've said in the last 3 weeks, spending more time in nature reduces stress. Excuse me, this was the interdisciplinary Cornell team. And they're saying as little as 10 minutes in a natural setting can get you into a better place by de-stressing, happier. Ideally, I don't believe 10 minutes is enough. I would say half hour twice a day. Also, from Tokyo Medical and Dental University comes a study published in the Journal of Food Science Nutrition that taking tomato juice, make your own, it's easy, but not using salt, instead use lemon juice. As part of the detox, I put people on, I have them juice green apples, because green apples and lemons, your best single juice you could put in your body. But I have tomatoes, some orange tomatoes, some yellow tomatoes, and some red tomatoes, even some brown and purple tomatoes. They're all good. They all have different nutrients. Good for our vision, good for our skin, good for our heart, good for our arteries. So you make a juice. It generally takes about 5 to 6 tomatoes, medium-sized tomatoes, to make a 16-ounce glass of juice, not a big juice. And then squeeze the juice of 2 lemons into that. It tastes salty. There's no sodium. It's the benefit of using, like last night, I took some oyster mushrooms and portobello and shiitake. I washed them, pressed them between my palm and my hands, and squeeze out any juice, cut off the stems, because those are not digested, and then cut them in slices, saute them at a low temperature using some wheat-free soy sauce and some rosemary and cardamom, and about 5 minutes, and at a low heat, and they're perfect. Because you've got to heat a mushroom to release its medicinal properties. That's why I don't suggest eating raw mushrooms. But then I took a potato, a purple potato, which is your most nutritious. And by the way, I didn't know this until I was filming a documentary on my friend David Boulay, America's Greatest Chef. You won't see him on a television program because he has a great deal of self-confidence, but he doesn't like the dog and pony shows of these foolish competitions. It's just not his personality, and thank goodness it's not. A lot of it's just buffoonery. And we were filming at the farmer's market, and we went by a stand, and he showed me what he did each morning when he had his restaurant, Boulay's. And there was this older woman, I'm guessing in her 80s, and she had, and I'd never seen it before because these trays were at the very back of her booth, so you couldn't easily see them from the front. But she had like 30 or 40 different types of herbs growing in these trays. And so David went over, and that's where he bought his herbs. And he would break an herb leaf in his, he'd rub them between his thumb and his forefinger and then smell it. And based upon the aroma, he would say, okay, I'll take 3 trays of this and 2 of that. So that's how a real chef imparts unique flavor. It's the subtle. And he also made infusions of these. But then we went by and he said, I'm going to show you something. So there was just some potatoes. He said, see these purple potatoes? I said, yeah. He said, do you know where these came from? I said, no, I don't. And then the farmer came over and said, hi, David. And David Boulay brought those in from South America. And he got a farmer upstate to start growing them. And after years of testing and trying to do it so that he would get, these are little fingerling size. So when you're eating a purple potato, it's David Boulay who brought them here. Everything starts with one person with a good idea. So we thank him for that. In any case, I had steamed, and the best way of having a purple potato is to steam them. So you steam them until you can push a knife into them, and it comes out, or a toothpick. And then you can just pull off the skin. And then you mash it up, and then you put toasted sesame seeds in it, and then squeeze the juice of 3 lemons over it. Then you put your mushrooms that you've just sautéed on top of that. Now that is a good dish. And by the way, I'm going to be posting some free recipes, just as a public service, of some gourmet, vegan, and even some raw food recipes. I just finished perfecting a avocado, a coconut meat, which is the inner ripened coconut, And by blending them together with a mint, I'm able to make a, with stevia, I'm able to make a cheesecake that is non-dairy with no sugar. And it's delicious. So it's just the newest one. I'm trying to knock out a couple recipes every couple days for a new cookbook I'm doing. And also, if you don't want sodium, and I hope you're not loading that salt on your food, lemon juice will do it. Or you can mix lemon juice and lime juice together, squeeze them both together, stir them together, and then use that. Anyhow, the Tokyo Medical and Dental University found that when you're using tomato juice that you make yourself and you don't add salt, you lower your risk of cardiovascular disease. And that could save your life. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Food, Science, and Nutrition. And one final study, and this is from the Helen Graham Cancer Center and Research Institute. Inflammation caused by radiation can drive triple negative breast cancer. This was published in the International Journal of Radiation Biology. So while radiation is currently used to treat breast cancer, then follow that chemotherapy, and it kills cancer cells, that it does, the side effect is massive hydroxyl free radical inflammation, which in itself can cause secondary cancer. In this case, it promotes the survival of triple negative breast cancer cells. So when people say, well, you know, we got all the tumor out, by what means did you get it out? If you got it out using chemotherapy and radiation, you really better hope you have a protocol to rebuild your natural immune system and turn off all that hydroxyl free radical activity. And 15 to 20% of all breast cancers, triple negative breast cancer, is faster growing than other types of breast cancer. Then you could be without cancer for a year, even two, and then it comes back with a passion. So that's radiation-induced inflammation can devastate the human immune system, and so it causes cancer again. And once again, this is from Dalhousie University in Canada. When you're eating saturated fat, there's the average American diet, dairy and meat, you're increasing the risk of dying in middle-aged and older adults. And that's it. It's that simple. So this was 4,062 participants, and the saturated fat increased the risk of dying. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're 26 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from a person who is challenging Greta Thunberg. Okay, that's fair. But she hasn't given us her full background, so I decided to look. And then I'm going to tell you what I would believe is both constructive and destructive in both their arguments. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Intellectual humility, and it is important that we keep questioning the narrative that is out there instead of promoting it. And these days, climate change science really isn't a science at all.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet, you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones.
The reason I don't like the term Ente Greta is because it suggests that I myself am an indoctrinated puppet, I guess, for the other side.
We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth.
Climate change alarmism, at its very core, is a despicably anti-human ideology.
For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear.
Yeah, because the other side, they call us the climate deniers, and I hate that term, absolutely, especially as a German. It is so rude to refer to someone as a climate denier, because obviously there is a connection to the term Holocaust denier, which carries a lot of weight in Germany. And I don't want to do the same to the other side. I want them to realize that we are the climate realists. We want to talk facts and science, and we don't want to denounce other people. We don't want to shut down free speech. That's quite the opposite of what we want to do.
Okay. I agree we should not shut down free speech. And yet, across a lot of campuses, generally the upper Ivy League campuses, there's a growing idea that students are not there to learn critical thinking and to understand what it is to survive and exceed in the existing economy. They're not given classes in transhumanism, in artificial intelligence, in robotics, in automation, in visa application that will take, when applied and permitted, will take away seniority jobs by the millions in the United States, have already taken over a million jobs, generally by people who've been there most of their adult life. They're not told the reality of the world they're facing. So, and especially those taking liberal arts degrees, better not to go to college and go to a trade school and learn a craft where you're going to be able to work and earn a living, a living wage, than to take half the courses people are taking, then get out and see, gee whiz, this isn't good. But also embedded in this whole imbuement of, let's say, identity politics is a student's right to say, I'm here for comfort, to be coddled, and to be respected at every level. I'm not here to have you tell me something I don't want to hear, and hence the whole idea of trigger words. So now you have professors everywhere who have used the ability to communicate and have dialogue, debates, discussions, open forums, are now not doing that because they're afraid that someone's going to say there was something you said or even how you looked that offended me and I feel threatened to my core being, when there's no safer place in academia than in the average college room today and on campus in particular. They're certainly not perfect, but my God, compared to other places they could be in the real world, these are these bubble people coming from about 60 million people living in these bubble families, generally, more often than not, the professional or career family members. We just saw that with the scandal that happened. We're paying up to $500,000 to get their children, who could not do it on their own, into prestigious universities by lying. And now they're paying a price. What does that tell us? It tells us that we should have open and honest dialogues where nothing is off the table to be discussed, but in such a way that we can challenge what a person is saying without demeaning and degrading the person saying it. There's no civility any longer. Did you see the debasement of human beings in these debates where all knives are out? This is like Julius Caesar when they're going after, in his death, when they're going after Bernie Sanders right now. It's not the way it should be. But on the other end, I'd like Greta to stop acting. Remember, she's an actress. She grew up in an acting family. Her father teaches this. Her mother's a part of it. And no, the world's not going to end in 10 years or 9 years. And you should get that to Ms. Cortez. It's not going to end. Today, my latest film, which is the most comprehensive documentary ever produced on the subject of the environment, everything about the environment, everywhere in the world you're going to see filming that was done showing you the reality of what we've created. You're going to see the planet that we have exploited and the consequences. What you will not see are the students taking Friday off to join in a protest who are also saying, shouldn't we stop with all the cellular phones that are causing people to be exploited in Africa, including young children? Do you know that there is as much slavery today in the world or indentured working as there was during the Civil War? We have more people, we have more slavery. The things that people are using who are saying that they're environmentally conscious. Wind turbines are not environmentally conscious. They're not pro-environment. They're extremely destructive, do not biodegrade, and there's tens of thousands of the blades that are just laying around in places when no one's cleaning it up, even solar. So why isn't anyone advocating for the wind and or wave power out of the ocean? That's free. How about geothermal, like Iceland has? These are inexpensive, and they are not polluting to capture it and distribute it and use it. Not a penny. Because Al Gore and other people like him, who are the vulture capitalists of the green movement, benefit from this. So we're all being played. Is there a crisis? You bet. Is the world going to end? Civilization as we know going to end in the next 10 years? No. Will there be places in the world like all of Australia that won't be habitable in 10 years, sustainable? Yes. In other places in the Middle East, I predict that Amman, I predict that Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates will no longer be able to be sustainable, no matter how much money they have. Sydney was one of the hottest places in the world to live as far as, you know, a hot ticket for the best property, the most opportunities, but no one looked at how much water is in the aquifer for feeding Sydney or Brisbane or any of the other major cities all on the coast. Now, the continent of Australia and the continental size, excluding Alaska and the United States, are about the same. Not a big difference. The United States is slightly bigger. However, just like we're overusing our Agalaga aquifer, which supports seven states' breadbaskets, we're going to run out of water. We've overexploited it. The Little Colorado is now running out of water. It's run down so far. Lake Mead is its lowest point. They're building new drains lower down into the water table. So we have major crises. These are real. We have feedback loops, including the latest being the Gulf Current that supports bringing cold water down from around Scotland, Ireland, Iceland, back down, and it comes down past the eastern United States. So there's warm loop. It's slowing down. When it slows down, you're going to have greater storms and greater surges coming in to Florida. Florida's done. It's a dead man walking. If you live on either coast, you better think about where your next place to be is, because watch next hurricane season. This past season, Florida didn't have a major storm. 2 years ago, had a Category 5. What's going to happen when we have a Category 6? The Bahamas, mind you, the Bahamas is not far off the coast of Florida. You have greater amounts of water in the storms. They're broader, they're stronger. You have the green algae clear around this coast now. You never had that before. You see all this in the film. So when they say we've got a problem, yes, we don't have solutions that the average person's willing to engage in, including the pro people, the people who fly in private jets to environmental conferences, the conferences which make nothing mandatory, but say we'll become conscious of everything in our industries by 2050. That will be way too late. So where civilization will not cease to exist areas of the world where people are currently living will no longer be able to sustain human life or even animal life within 10 years. That is true. You got to keep it in perspective. Otherwise, all you're doing is scaring people. When you scare people, you get them to go in the direction you want. So the one young woman should have an opportunity to debate Greta Thunberg. But they should be debated without either their parents. This one woman, I found out her mother's a lawyer and represents a particular ideology. Well, that's going to influence her daughter, who then just becomes another young teenage face on this issue. Where are the wise, objective, non-ideological environmentalists, climatologists, the people who should be educating us every day on what's wrong and how to right it? I don't want to hear from a 16-year-old kid about everything we should do when they're not doing it. Don't tell me, don't try to shame me or anyone else who are actual environmentalists, actually living organically, actually having our hands in the soil, actually doing something every day to make it a better world. And all I see is running to this conference and that photo op and Time person. That's all packaging of a persona. Why? You don't get that advantage unless there's a lot of people behind you who are looking at not millions, not billions, but trillions of dollars going to come their way. That's the sad part of this. Do your own homework and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. So we should all be committed to doing something with the environment. Yeah? Can you name me two people who are? Truly, can you name me two people who are? Who stop buying what they don't need, who are vegan, who are supporting local economy, who are actively organizing to plant trees in their local community. No. Did the United States have an increase in its carbon dioxide last year? Yes. Did China? Big time. Is it going to decrease? Going to increase. So if we're all over here and you hear people harping about, I'm the new Cassandra, you know, it's death and destruction coming. And over here, the people that person's a nut job. They're extremists. We should take an honest look at what's been happening and ask, am I in the right place at the right time with the right support system to survive another hurricane, an earthquake, fires? And if you're not, then you're living in denial, even if you call yourself an environmentalist. And if you're an environmentalist, are you active in being an environmentalist? Don't show up at a rally and then go to a McDonald's later. That's hypocrisy. And we are nothing if we're not a nation of hypocrites. Fully to the max, 1,000% hypocritical in everything. Everything. We're bringing peace and prosperity and democracy and freedom to Libya. No, we brought organ trading, open-air slave markets, the destruction of over 20 million people's quality of life, number one nation in Africa, longest lifespan, highest literacy, the most freedoms for women of any Muslim nation, no debt, the largest environmental project in world history, the great aquifer system that Gaddafi created, no crime, the Paris of Africa, but he was a threat. Because he wanted to go off the dollar as a reserve currency and go to the golden era, and he had organized the African Union to start trading in their own currency. That would have meant hundreds of billions of dollars that others would not have made. And so Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and their State Department, the CIA, they decided to destroy him. And they did. Did you see any criticism in the liberal press because of that? No, you did not. Will you? Never. Now to another issue. We take a lot of time and effort to write very important articles on issues that we feel the public needs to be educated, at least give an opportunity to know that there's information. If they choose to use it, good for them. Better, what if you share that information? This is a letter sent by John Chimenti, Shimenti. I don't know him, never met him, but he took this letter and he Senator Dr. Gupta. You know, he's the one over on cable network CNN. I'm going to read you his letter. I wished everyone in the audience would take the articles we write, the videos, documentaries we produce, and share it with their legislators. Keep sharing it. Quote, Dear Dr. Gupta, after watching you investigate health issues on CNN for the past 20-plus years, I find it necessary to contact you about a situation related to CDC-mandated vaccinations that has become very disturbing to me. I'm only hopeful that you might read this letter and become inspired to focus your investigative journalistic skills on this urgent matter. While I write this, I realize that the world is controlled by money, and that there are things that you can investigate and those which are taboo. Regardless of whether you can or cannot publicly comment on this matter, I would ask that you at least review my concerns and determine if the case against the CDC is legitimate. Then I could come away believing that I did what I could to speak truth to power. I would like you to focus your attention on a film that was released last year called Deadly Deception. I've enclosed a copy and hope you will take the time to review it. This film brings many facts to light concerning the dangers posed by vaccinations that would never have been widely available to public ears. It also discloses corruption at the CDC and the infestation of pharmaceutical corporate interest upon that institution. This entire film can also be seen at the following link. This film is almost entirely composed of research and testimony from doctors who have had experience with illnesses related to vaccinations. Accessing these people would make it very easy for you to investigate the claims they make. To possibly stoke your interest, I have summarized a lot of facts that were brought out in the first half only of the film. Deadly Deception, a documentary film by Gary Knoll, 2019. The CDC now requires that infants receive 49 doses of 16 vaccinations before the age of 6. Mercury has been proven to be extremely toxic, so much so that dentists are even replacing tooth fillings that contain it, yet mercury is still used in flu shots and even in maternal flu vaccinations. Because of the bad press related to mercury, the pharmaceutical industry has developed a nanoparticulate form of aluminum. This substance is able to pass through the blood-brain barrier and to lodge itself into the brain tissue. This has been linked to many forms of chronic illness. Polysorbate 80 has never been tested as a human injectable, yet it is in the vaccinations being injected into infants. The CDC manages a Veris database that is not open to public review. They are the sole repository of all information related to people who have been hurt or killed by vaccines and as a result are being compensated. It is estimated that Veris database is underreported by anywhere from 50 to 1 to 100 to 1. So would need to multiply the statistics in the database by 50 to 100 in order to gain a realistic understanding of the true extent of the damage caused by vaccines. The FDA, the CDC, and the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons say that 90 to 99% of, quote, adverse events, end quote, due to immunization are not even reported. On that basis alone, no one should be required to subject themselves to vaccination. Because there is no requirement for the pharmaceutical industry or the CDC to publish the findings from the data in the Veris database, doctors and pediatricians do not have access to information such as symptoms in order to quickly diagnose and treat illness due to a reaction to a vaccine. In a decision, the Supreme Court stated 32 times that vaccines are, quote, unavoidably unsafe. The studies that the FDA and CDC require to verify the safety of new vaccines is totally inadequate by any normal medical standard. In 1986, the pharmaceutical industry lobbied to get legislation passed. In 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that makes any manufacturer of a vaccine immune from prosecution due to harm done by its vaccinations, no matter how reckless or negligent the company was. This made vaccine research and production immediately profitable. The law created the Federal Vaccine Compensation System, which created a schedule of known dangers related to each vaccine being strongly suggested to the population. It set aside 75 cents on each vaccine dose dispensed to be put into a fund to compensate those who suffered injury or death from a reaction to a vaccine. This is a federally funded program which bars tracing liability back to the manufacturer. This was supposed to be an alternative to a lawsuit, but instead of a lawsuit. The pharmaceutical industry, however, argued that unbridled exposure to liability for damages would make research impossible, so it was really a means of liquidating damages in the end. Someone who loses a child, for example, is not entitled to sue the manufacturer, depose their professionals, or conduct normal discovery to determine culpability. It has become a kangaroo court. And 1986 legislation has essentially turned the U.S. Department of Justice into the lawyer for the vaccine industry. In court cases before the 1997 legislation, it had been determined that vaccination caused encephalopathy, swelling of the brain, which leads to autism. One cannot, however, bring a case of autism because the word autism is not included in the list of recognized billable diseases in the U.S. healthcare system. The healthcare system considers autism a disorder, not a disease. This is how the pharmaceutical industry can say there is no link between vaccination and autism. It is a fraud and a dirty trick played by the U.S. government in favor of the pharmaceutical industry. There is a victim compensation program that has paid out over $3 billion in 27 years. Just in 2016, it paid out over $251 billion to people who were either killed or injured by vaccines. Many vaccines are only tested in animals. They are prescribed to humans without any testing in many cases. The Food and Drug Administration and the CDC are not required to prove that a vaccine is effective in treating disease. They're only having to show that the vaccine produces an antigen that is believed to be effective in combating a given disease. Antibody production only relates to exposure, but not necessarily to immunity. Many people, such as the disease-affected or elderly people, won't even generate a desired antibody. Many vaccines only produce temporary immunity, not a lifelong immunity that would be a result of a normal function of the human immune system. This is why so many vaccines require booster shots. The CDC has reported that the U.S. government secretly spread sexually transmitted diseases in South America between 1946 and 48 to determine if injections of penicillin would reduce the likelihood of infection from sexually transmitted disease. The Nuremberg Code specifies that it is unlawful to force or coerce someone into taking medicine, receiving a vaccine, or a medical procedure that he or she does not want. I repeat, the Nuremberg Code specifies that it is unlawful to force or coerce someone into taking medicine, receiving a vaccine, or a medical procedure that he or she does not want. State governments in the United States, however, will require a prospective student to be fully vaccinated before that child will be permitted to attend school. That is a direct example of coercion, which is a violation of the Nuremberg Code and the UNESCO Convention. Vaccines are not required for immigrants, for military, are now required for immigrants, for military troops, for military workers and government subcontractors. They are also required for daycare facilities and for university enrollment. State governments are parenting with corporations to mandate that their employees be vaccinated. Doctors and hospitals have become enforcers of government policy where their medical licenses are subject to adherence to prescribed protocols for vaccinations to infants. This violates the patient-doctor relationship. And then it goes on. That's only half of his letter, by the way. Quote, after, at the end, he says, after reading this list of highlights, and this is only half of the documentary, it would seem inconceivable that you would not have the professional interest in reviewing the film itself. Should you happen, would you please send me an email? Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.